Hi, you're listening to Driven E-Commerce at Work, the podcast where we bring in conversations with the e-commerce experts. We also put together some interesting content from different places, including our monthly e-sessions, speaker series, and anything that's related to e-commerce for manufacturing and distribution. If you're here for the first time, I would highly encourage you to go and subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Hey everyone, this is your host Shiva Kumar. Welcome back to Driven E-Commerce at Work podcast. Our guest today is Matthew Barnett, co-founder and CEO of Bonjoro. Hey Matt, welcome to the show.
Hey Shiva, awesome to be here.
Awesome, thank you so much for being our guest today. And so are you based out of Australia or UK?
I'm British originally, but I'm based in Sydney, Australia.
Awesome, awesome. So you launched the product in 2017, if I'm correct, and it's been like 3 years, right? So you brought this from zero to 40,000 users. So tell us about, you know, about your role, and then so what does your company does, Bonjoro does?
So I'm the head honcho, so I kind of run the show, but I also sit on as product management. Product management is my joy. I love product, but because I run a company, I probably get to do it like 5% of the time now, unfortunately. So everything else gets in the way. Bonjoro, we do personalized video messaging. Mm-hmm. So at certain points on a customer funnel, we will notify you that it's a good time to send a personalized video to a specific customer. So for instance, you might send a video to Jim, who's based in Orlando. And where we get used in e-commerce is generally around things like shopping cart completions, mm-hmm. switching customers from single purchase to subscription models. And then we also get used for driving reviews on things like Trustpilot. What we find is that essentially dropping in and spending 30 seconds acknowledging a customer in person has a huge impact in terms of engagement and then getting those customers to go and take other actions that ultimately increase the lifetime value.
Mm-hmm. So where did this all start? Do you had any personal experience? Like, did you ever experience something like, apart from email, did you got any video and then you get into it and then you started this company? How did this all start?
Yeah, so this is actually my second company. So I ran an agency out of Australia where all our clients were large corporate clients in London, New York and Paris. So we would get leads coming in when we were asleep. Like, time zones are not easy here. So we didn't do a great job of converting those. And in that industry, because it was B2B, it was very much sales personality driven. So I started sending videos to every single customer and every single lead that came into our funnel every morning when I first went into work. Mm-hmm. And we tripled our response rates on those. People loved them. And one of those customers asked if they could use this video email system. And so we let them. And then another one asked. And then I think somewhere between 12 and 18 months later, that company was bigger than the agency that launched it. So we kind of put two teams out, and then I kind of stepped into this one kind of full time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome, that's good. So whenever I talk to entrepreneurs or CEOs in the SaaS business, I actually wanted to hear about the initial marketing activities. So can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, like how did you actually drive traffic and the signups for your product during the first year? Was that through the typical SEO or the difference between? I just wanted to get listeners to understand about the organic or the paid. So which one did you really like, or how was the initial first year for you?
So we are pretty much organic growth to date. Mm-hmm. So we don't really do paid. We do have a viral element, which is harder to obviously create because people send video messages, other people see them and they sign up. We do quite a lot of influencer engagement. So what I mean here is that we got picked up quite early by some big names in the industry, guys like Pat Flynn, like ConvertKit, Basecamp, I think Firefox is using us. And so we kind of like put a lot of time into engaging those individuals, those companies, and then getting them to talk about us. We spend a lot of time on support. We'll invest a lot in customer success. And I think because we do a really good job there, we get talked about quite a lot. So we have a natural funnel that comes in anyway, and then we end up doing a lot of engagement with our users. We end up getting on webinars with them. We end up supporting charities and causes. And so we have a system for trying to engage our users and turn them into what we call advocates. That's then becomes our biggest source of traffic. So I think to date we are 50% referral, and 20% come through videos people watch, and the other 30% tend to now today they come through content.
So do you send videos to your customers?
We do. I still do about 10 a day, but I do a few. The rest of the team take them around the world. I think I worked out the other day, I've spent 7.5 days of my life sending videos.
Mm-hmm. That's good. So, we're talking about the sending, sending personal videos rather than the emails for the first communication, right? So how, effective is that? Or, what does it actually help the e-commerce store owners to build a brand on a long run?
Yeah, so doing case studies with e-commerce clients, generally what we see this drives is repeat purchase. So if you're doing it as a first purchase, dropping in and just saying, thanks so much, means a lot to us. We see from quite a few case studies that generally it's sending the personal video increases the repeat purchase or the lifetime value of a customer by about 15 to 40%. Mm-hmm. So I think customers are loving the fact that the company's willing to engage with them. Mm-hmm. In terms of driving reviews, which is a little bit harder to measure down to like an actual revenue status, but we've worked with quite a lot of companies who've used us exclusively over about 3 months and driven themselves to like number one places in Trustpilot. In industries like fashion, which is highly competitive. So I think depending on what it is you're selling, we work very well for slightly higher ticket items. If you're selling $2 items, it's probably not going to be worth your time. But if you're selling, $10, $15, $50, $100, whatever works for you, that's where we tend to get used.
Mm-hmm. So how does this, applicable in B2B? I mean, let's say a B2C merchant, if they wanted to try it out, it's more like creating that one-on-one conversation, right? So they know the person that they're talking to, and pretty much they are the decision makers, right? Whereas in B2B, that's completely opposite. Sometimes, you may not be talking to the decision maker and the purchasing process is completely different. So how should a B2B merchant or B2B agency should actually, approach this? Or how do you think, this personalized video works in the B2B environment?
So I think in B2B, it's about the frontline team. So I think what you're showing here is when your team are reaching out and connecting with purchasers, they are showing that there's a willing frontline team who are human and who are there to help. So obviously support SLA is really important in that space. So if you're doing this, that adheres to those best practices and shows that you're willing to go above and beyond, which obviously then generates trust and confidence in the service and the products that you offer.
Mm-hmm. So how does your native Shopify integration works? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yep. So we plug into Shopify, and these videos are always being sent in response to a customer action. Mm-hmm. So they're sent at specific times. So what you can do is say, set up, when a purchase happens of a certain value, it's going to trigger, or when a customer purchases for the third time, it'll trigger, or like whatever that needs to be. So it's very custom. That trigger fires the customer data into Bonjour. You get a notification either on your desktop or your phone. Most of our users use our mobile app. And then what you'll do is you'll pull up the information of the customer. It will show you everything there so that when you record a video, you can personalize it to that individual. That is then sent off. We then use templates to drive customers to a second action. But essentially, the Shopify integration allows that automation of when to be sending these and to show you the data that you can use to personalize the video. Mm-hmm,
mm-hmm. So when we're talking about this, I actually wanted to understand a little bit about the CLTV as well. I mean, customer lifetime value as well. So why do you think that's important in e-commerce space?
I think a lot has changed in the last 9 months. I see more and more e-com. So e-commerce boomed. I think over here it's like, 8 to 17% of e-commerce companies now are offering subscription models, which is insane. Yeah. So there's a lot of like SaaS methodology, subscription business methodology coming into e-commerce. So I think people are starting to think about customer lifetime value rather than one-off like SKU purchase value. Mm-hmm. And what this is it's much easier to get a dollar off an existing customer than it is to go out and get a new customer. The cost of acquisition there is much, much cheaper. So if you can provide a great service and you can get people to repeat purchase, that's much easier and more cost effective. And so when you think about a customer from now on, you're not thinking about a $50 sale, you're thinking about 8 $50 sales over an average of 3 years, so $400 over that time. If you know that and understand that and those averages, and obviously that allows you to invest more money up front because it'll come back in a certain time. So customer lifetime value is, yeah, the dollar value of each purchase. It's how many times those purchases are made. It also then goes into upgrades and expansion revenue. So are you getting those people to then purchase other products on top? And then, you know, as you get smarter about it, it can also come into the referral side of things. So how many new customers are those existing customers referring you? If each customer refers you, you know, 0.1 new customers, you know, there's a 0.1 extra value that goes onto that.
So I've been looking at your website, and so you're talking about increase in orders by 20% because of using Bonjoro, right? I mean, for those who are using Bonjoro, place orders comparatively better than the regular views, right? So can you tell us a little bit about that? I mean, can you touch upon like one or two customer stories, because, you know, people wanted to hear the real-time stories. So like one or two, whatever, I mean, the company, it can be like B2B or B2C, anything, you can pick it up. And like how they moved from, you know, not using Bonjoro or not using video to who they are right now.
Yeah, one good case study, I think, is around the subscription area. It's pretty quite easy to get your head around. So it's copy subscriptions, although subscriptions are coming into a lot of different industries now. So we had one company that was looking to move heavily into that around about when COVID started. Mm-hmm. They saw the opportunity there. I think they were doing about $35,000 MRR in subscriptions. And then most of their revenue was one-off purchases. What they did was anyone who purchased for a second, like or more time, or anyone who purchased more than one bag at once, they would then send a video to those individuals, and they would thank them for the purchase. And they would also, but then they would say, you know, we see you've already purchased from us twice before. Did you know if you switched to subscription, it's actually 20% cheaper. Mm-hmm. You know, and you get access to special offers, etc. If you want to take advantage of that, click here. And so they used it for, I think, it was maybe 8 to 10 weeks. And they, in that period, given the fact they've been running for a few years before, they took their MRR from $35,000 a month to $75,000 a month. So they more than doubled their subscription revenue. And the reason was checking in, getting people and getting switched to subscription with a personalized message. And they've done this with emails before and never had that type of growth before. Mm-hmm. So that was specifically picking out people who they knew were more likely to kind of convert over, who were higher ticket purchasers, and then giving them a great offer at a great time, and then getting them before they went to go and complete their checkout.
So it's pretty much like they can use this process across all the channels within the company, right? So it doesn't matter you're incorporating this in the sales or pre-sales process. You can start from there to until like customer acquisition, or, you know, even the customer success, literally the customer support team as well. Is that correct?
Yeah, I wouldn't say, so it's not so much outbound. Mm-hmm. I think outbound cold sales, it can work. It's probably not worth it for everyone because obviously there's a time cost with this. If each video takes you a minute's time and your open rates on outbound, like with video, they will be better, but they're always going to be small. I think there's more time effective ways to do that. I think generally where we get used is a second touch point onwards. So you've already got inbound. So inbound into e-commerce platform. And then more and more use we're seeing tends to be around later stages in the funnel. So kind of repurchase and retention.
Good. So how to drive customer retention? So I actually want to touch on a little bit about that as well.
So like, this is not just about video. I think this is about engagement more than anything. I think where companies fail is they're always chasing new sales. With retention, what you need to do is to keep people engaged in the company and in what you're doing beyond that first purchase. And this is not about just doing a, you know, monthly marketing message with some deals on it. I think if you can go a little bit above and beyond, if you can find a reason to talk to that customer, so support your frontline is awesome at this. Obviously where videos come is that when things are delivered, people are sending a video and checking in and saying, I just want to make sure you got it, you received it, it's all really good. So once you do something like that, then once you talk to a customer after delivery, then they're more engaged, and then you have an opportunity to take that user and put them into a process that you're tempted to drive them up to become an advocate. So if you have communities, add them in. If you have pre-sales and special orders, add them into a private group, make them feel special. Have someone who manages that community in conversation. Again, I don't think it's about marketing email lists, although we all do those. I think having private communities, having, you know, more engaged places to speak and to get involved, and then to try and talk to those users and hear from them, that's the way that you start to build these advocates that will stay for, you know, the next kind of 5 years.
So a couple of years ago, and it was just about the case studies and the testimonials, but things have completely changed now, you know. So there are a handful of trusted review platforms in B2B, and I think the consumers are looking to see, you know, the review from these trusted service providers rather than looking at those, you know, testimonials in the website. So how do you think companies can get more reviews?
Yeah, so it's about timing. So I think what you want to do here is wait until a customer is at a kind of high point of perception of your company, and that's when you ask for it. So often this is as they receive the item for the first time. Mm-hmm. So whatever you're doing, whether you're using video, whether you're doing automated stuff, wait till you know the item's been delivered, wait 24 hours, and then check in. And don't just blatantly ask for a review, you know, check in to make sure they're okay and that they're happy with the product. And then obviously if there's any challenges, your support is there proactively looking to help them. Then you ask them for a review. And the fact that you've reached out anyway to check they're okay, if you're then asking for a review, you're going to just, by its very nature, generate more positive reviews. Because you've done that law of reciprocation, because it's fresh in the user's mind, you're going to get more reviews at that point. I think in terms of strategy, go for one platform at a time, potentially just consider one of them. So if you're on fashion, I know in Europe, Trustpilot is a place to be. So look to get into number one in a single category, nail that. Once you're there, you do need to keep that retained. So you need to keep things going. But then if you want to go for another review site, then go and just nail that in one go as well. I think spreading around a bit, you do face the risk of doing a mediocre job on multiple platforms. So if you can work out which one works for you, I'd say just nail one to start with.
So can you tell us a little bit about, the personalization in e-commerce and how to drive the repeat purchases?
Yeah, so obviously the video part is coming in. Switch people over to different models. If you have, like, consider subscription models if you haven't already. It's working across the board in all weird kind of industries. I think beyond video, there's also, like, you've also got a lot of stuff for personalization in ad targeting and retargeting that you're doing. I think a lot of e-commerce companies do a very bad job of this. So looking to other systems, look at doing a better job of this. I think, you know, if you have things like regular purchase items or consumables, then make sure that you're, you know, you target to consumer, wait 6 weeks until you know that consumer is getting to the end of the life cycle of that consumable, and then target them again. Don't just start hitting them straight away. It's not a good use of revenue. So I think timing around when to retarget users, obviously once you get a second purchase in, then push for a subscription or for a discount or to join the club so they can kind of buy again and again. Invest your time in those users, but just be a bit smarter around when you're kind of retargeting and hitting them up.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. So can you tell us a little bit about the companies that are using video marketing? I mean, so one thing that's been changing throughout this 6-9 months is everyone is trying to go audio, everyone is trying to go video. And so that's completely relevant to whatever the e-commerce businesses are doing. You really wanted to get in closer with the audiences, right? So I don't know how many, you know, B2B companies are actually utilizing the video marketing. So what's your take over there?
The guys who are driving it is B2B. So with us, so we don't just do e-commerce. Like, we also have a lot of customers in education, a lot of customers in services and SaaS. And SaaS, that methodology kind of trickles down. B2B by far is our largest user base. I think B2B is naturally a relationship based way of doing work. B2C is less so, and B2C stuff, people are shopping around and kind of moving on. Mm-hmm. Whereas B2B, you're generally getting customers who are going to stay with you for a few years if you do your job right. So I think their relationships are important. We've kind of lost them online a little bit. So if you can be a company that kind of drives those ahead, stands out and makes them where your competitors aren't, that's where you're going to succeed. But honestly, if you're B2B, like, this should be a tool that you use, like B2C secondary. Absolutely.
Mm-hmm. So a couple of quick questions before we wrap this up. So who's your favorite CMO right now?
Favorite CMO or CEO?
Yeah, CMO. Because you're the CEO.
CMO. Well, other than my one, there's a company called Design Pickle, who do subscription design and graphic design. I forget the guy's name, but the way they do video ads and the way they do brand is amazing. And it's kind of, I guess it's kind of a play by the fact that they are unfunded, probably one of the fastest growing SaaS companies in the world with zero funding. And only about 4 years old, but have a look at how they do marketing. It's insane.
Okay. And which company's video marketing activities do you really like?
So, well, those guys, yeah. But most stuff is like YouTube and like video ads, and it's all shot on phones. It's all very like time relevant. So do stuff for Halloween, do stuff. It's super raw. It's funny. It's tongue in cheek, and yet they sell to professional companies and they're B2B, and that brand, the way they do it, seems to work really well. So honestly, I just think have a look at how they do it, and that's it's very different the way they position their brand, and you wouldn't think it would be as successful as it is, but they're absolutely crushing it.
So what's your take on doing TikTok and B2B? I'm not sure if the companies are adapted to that, or
they've just launched the Shopify integration. More for the ad side of things. I mean, look, it's a platform, it's growing. I think you have to test this stuff, yeah? So I think you need to test everything. And obviously the opportunity there is that if it was to work for you, depending on what it is you're selling, and there's less people advertising or being on it to start with, then you're going to get a much better CAC before everyone jumps on board. So I think when things like this come out, honestly, you have to try, because when you find one of these that works and you are early on to it, you know, like, do you remember the stories about everyone who made killing on Facebook back in the day when the ads cost nothing? Like you want to try and find one of those opportunities to test it. I don't know. We've done things that have surprised me, but you don't think it's going to work. But if you're not testing, if you're not trying new stuff, you will never find out. So try everything.
Yeah, exactly. So tell us a little bit about Banjar before we leave. Give us some links so the listeners can actually go ahead and try it out. Where do you want listeners to get in touch with you? LinkedIn, Twitter, give us some links.
If you go to banjar.com, if you want to try it out, it's free to test out. You'll see there's a thing called called our video funnels, which basically has loads of pre-built examples of how to use it with e-commerce. So it's super easy to get started. If you want to reach out to me, then go to LinkedIn and type in Papa Bear. That's my official title. I think there's three of us. I'm the guy in the bear suit. If you want to connect or want any advice or any help, open doors to reach out. Otherwise, Banjar app on Twitter.
Thank you so much for watching and listening to this episode of Driven E-commerce at Work podcast. This show is brought to you by DC Gap, the company well known for its e-commerce product suites for B2B distributors. Make sure you subscribe to our show on Apple Podcasts or Spotify. Catch you guys very soon with another interesting episode. Until next time, see you.